On Friday's front page, President Obama and House Speaker John Boehner appear to be nearing a budget deal. As the heat wave continues, swimmers here in New York can't go in the water. Millions of gallons of sewage are going directly into the Hudson River in the wake of a fire at a treatment plant. And a report from the front lines of agricultural crime in California. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the White House told Democratic congressional leaders that President Obama and House Speaker John Boehner are starting to close in on a major budget deal. They're racing against time and congressional resistance as they try to head off a government default in less than 2 weeks. Congressional officials say a possible deal could mean up to $3 trillion in spending cuts. It would also mean future revenues through a tax overhaul. Correspondent John Harwood tells us what happens next.
Procedurally, what is likely to happen is this. The main vehicle remains the fallback proposal that Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, and Harry Reid came up with in the Senate to give the president the power to raise the debt ceiling. We're going to have a first vote on that on Sunday. And the hope is that you have this Gang of Six proposal that will revive what Boehner and Obama have been working on, and in particular, give Boehner the new ability to sell this to Republican members who have been facing bad polls. They've been under the gun from a lot of commentators to the extent that they're endangering the economy. So John Boehner is now engaged in a lot of back-channel discussions with his own caucus, also with House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, who's suddenly relevant because she's going to have to provide a big chunk of votes to get this passed, considering how many Republicans are absolutely opposed to raising the debt ceiling under any circumstance.
Times correspondent John Harwood in Washington. Also on Friday's page one, European leaders agreed to reduce Greece's debt burden. It's a desperate bid to preserve the euro and head off a financial panic. Times reporter Landon Thomas Jr. tells us the deal is complicated and is actually called a selective default.
That does not mean that Greece is actually in default and is not paying its interest payments. It's going to keep paying its interest on its debt. It just means that it has a longer period of time to do so. 10 years, 15 years, that's going to be negotiated by the banks in Greece. But right now, before the deal, Greece would have to pay many billions of euros in interest in the next 2 years. That's just too much for a country that's going through a very serious austerity program. This is a short-term solution for Greece, and it's a short-term solution for Europe as a whole. The problems of sovereign debt in Europe have not gone away. The debt burdens in Greece and Italy, Portugal and Ireland remain very high. So for the short term, I think it's probably going to be a success. You see that investors have cheered it. Interest rates went down. But the longer term problem is still there, which is Greece has just too many debts to repay over the long term.
Times reporter Landon Thomas Jr. In London, two former senior executives of the British arm of Rupert Murdoch's media empire took issue with testimony from Murdoch's son, James. They said they did tell him about an email message he told Parliament he knew nothing about. The message surfaced in a lawsuit by a union official whose voicemails had been hacked. Separately, News International fired a senior editor who had worked at Murdoch's News of the World. Don't even think of going swimming or boating in the Hudson River this weekend. The city's health department says the water is unfit for recreational activity. The reason is a fire that shut down a big sewage treatment plant. Millions of gallons of untreated sewage are being discharged directly into the Hudson. Officials say city beaches are still safe to use, but a tide of sewage may force some closings. The space shuttle came home for the last time. A perfect landing after a 13-day mission ended 30 years of shuttle flights. Now private entrepreneurs are in a race to the moon. They're being spurred on by a $30 million competition from Google. Times reporter Kenneth Chang says 29 teams have signed up. One Silicon Valley company is positioning itself as a lunar Federal Express. If you have something that absolutely, positively has to get to the moon, they want to take it. Friday's page one says agricultural crime is rising in California. There have been ambushes involving everything from almonds to avocados. Officials say foreclosures and high unemployment have made criminals more desperate. They're also stealing copper. That hurts farmers because what the thieves make off with are the wires running between their outdoor wells and their power boxes. Inside Friday's Times, people who have to be outdoors in triple-digit temperatures are improvising as the hot weather continues. The guys who trim the grass at parks in Wichita Falls, Texas, are stuffing ice packs into their bright orange vests. The orchestra that performed in Chicago's Grant Park played Schumann Symphony No. 2 in C, wearing shorts and tank tops. Here in New York, Transit Chief Jay Walder quit to take a job with the company that runs Hong Kong's subway and commuter rail systems. The move was a surprise to the transit agency. Mayor Michael Bloomberg called Walder's departure, his words now, a real loss for New York City, the metropolitan region, the state, and the country. Those are protesters in Syria. The words they're singing are, "Come on, Bashar, leave." It's the anthem of the streets in Hama. Times reporter Anthony Shadid tells us how it started.
It was sung by a guy named Ibrahim Kashoush, and in those protests, he became somewhat famous. He also became a martyr for a lot of protesters. When he was kidnapped earlier this month, his body was found a day later. His throat had been cut, and more than that, his vocal cords had actually been ripped out. Now, while Ibrahim Kashoush was probably the most famous singer of the song, there was actually someone else who wrote the lyrics. His name is Abdurrahman, or he goes by Rahmani, a stage name of sorts, and he's like a lot of other young guys in Hama. He's a part-time electrician, part-time student, and he seems to be doing the protests as much as anything else out of fun. I asked him if he was going to keep writing songs, and he wasn't sure. I asked him if he was going to become famous, and he offered a line that seemed to be fitting for the moment. "How can I become famous?" he asked me. "I'm wanted."
Times reporter Anthony Shadid. That's our preview of Friday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts at nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.